support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
I'm Andy Turgeon. I'm the superintendent of the Knox County R1 School District in Edina, Missouri, which is in northeast Missouri, about 30 miles south of Iowa and about 40 miles east of Illinois.
In the nearest big city?
Kirksville is probably not a big city. St. Louis is about 3 hours away, and Kansas City is about 3.5 hours away.
Very cool. And your student population is?
K-12, we have 418 students. So we're a small rural school, but we're the only school in the county, and we cover 496 square miles, which is second largest in the state.
Wow. So that implies transportation, which we're going to get to.
Absolutely.
So we're going to start out with reuse and repurposing of existing rolling stock that you have, and that's diesel school buses.
Yes, so we stumbled into, along with our rural electric co-op, finding out that they make electric buses, 100% electric buses. We got pretty excited. We're always big on what are some growing things that we can prepare our students and educate them on, so that when they graduate, they're familiar, maybe even have some interest in developing those skills. So we did some research, found some grant opportunities, and were able to purchase the first electric school bus in the state of Missouri.
Wow.
To operate on our fleet. We have 14 buses, so this is one of 14, and we just got approved for two more, so we'll be getting two more here shortly. The benefits, aside from saving some money on diesel versus electricity, and maintenance, as well as air quality and health benefits, have been really surprising and great. Now, to get that bus, once we got it, because the Volkswagen money stipulates you have to destroy the diesel, you have to promise to take this diesel off the road, mm-hmm. You're improving the air quality. So part of it is you have to destroy the engine and cut the chassis in half. So then at a board meeting, one of my board members asked, is there any way the industrial tech class would have a use for this bus to repurpose it? So when I approached the teacher, he got pretty excited. We tried to come up with some brainstorm ideas. Over the weekend, I reminded myself that I had a business teacher that would like to simulate a little coffee shop in the back of her classroom, and felt this was a perfect opportunity. So we approached both teachers with the coffee shop idea, and from that point on, it just blossomed to unimaginable events.
And the process of converting this diesel bus into a coffee shop was pretty much the school kids did that, right?
When you look around the bus and see how it transformed to how it's operating today, most of it is all student ideas.
And right here we have
We have a couple students. Colin Hayes was through the process of building the coffee shop, from stripping it down to nothing to finished product with a new paint job. And we also have Isaac McCurran, who is one of our assistant managers, operating the coffee shop every day now that we've got it open.
Cool.
I'm Colin Hayes. I'm a sophomore at Knox County High School.
Tell us about your involvement and the rewards for you. What was the coolest?
I worked on the bus as a summer job, and what started out, it was just an ordinary job, what I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And every day when I came in, you knew you were going to learn something new. That was probably the most enjoying part of it for me.
Mm-hmm. And from a kind of mechanical, tactile, hands-on standpoint, what was the most awesome, rewarding part of physically building, transforming?
I'd say the paint job was probably most enjoyable for me. Before the summer, I knew nothing about painting or anything like that, but mm-hmm. Now I feel like I could paint about anything.
I thought it was professional commercial auto body shop job, so you win on that one.
My name is Isaac McCurran, and I'm a senior at Knox.
And tell us about how you got involved with the repurposing.
I was actually in the original class that came up with the idea of doing the coffee shop in the back of the classroom. So, and then when Ms. Wright, when I first heard about the position being open, I also worked here in the summer, and I liked working at the school, so I figured it'd be fun doing that too, and it has been really fun.
Mm-hmm. And the legend and myth and lore of the school bus transformation is that you guys were really involved in problem solving,
right,
and figuring stuff out and executing it. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that part.
So it started off with only five of us, mm-hmm, and it was us coming in every day. And we first started coming in at 7:30, and everyone would come in at that time. But now we have about 8 employees, and we have like a schedule, so not everyone's coming in every day.
You were involved from square one, right?
Right.
Empty shell, ready to go, ready to be transformed. So you have to figure out your business model, mm-hmm, right?
The part of like laying everything out was still on that side, I feel.
Right,
like.
But you walk in and you just have an empty little right. space ready for
True.
People.
Yeah.
So you're the one that has to figure out how many, what the jobs and duties mm-hmm. are,
yeah.
even what the physical flow might be of bodies walking
right, yeah.
past each other. So tell us about some
so
of those.
So we have like 3 or 4 stations that mm-hmm. we pretty much call them. We have a person who takes an order. We have a person who puts the syrups in the drinks. And then we have a person who actually makes the coffee. And then we have a person who hands it out to the customers.
And do you have any coffee runners for the teachers?
Yeah, that's normally the person who is handing it out. They'll mm-hmm. also take it to inside or wherever. But we also do deliveries in town.
Oh, really?
To certain businesses. Yeah, like every Friday uh-huh. we deliver to the insurance company in town. And then, not this week, but previous weeks, we've done all the healthcare businesses in town.
Oh, how cool. So that implies that it's a viable business model that's moderated and controlled by the students.
Yeah, so Isaac is put on the spot here, but they do everything. Those students do everything from they design the drinks, the menu.
Yeah.
They try test them out and say, oh, this one needs more of this syrup, this one. So like the last one they just did, they came up with an eggnog latte. Which is phenomenal. It's unbelievable. They do that on their own. They count the cash box. They deposit that. Then in the accounting classroom, they'll do the books for the bus. They also do the marketing. So like when he was talking about Wednesdays, every Wednesday they promote a different business in town. Mm-hmm. That business gets free coffees. Plus they tweet about them in our journalism class mm-hmm. And just kind of promote that business.
That's so cool.
So they come up with a lot of ideas. They talk all the time about how do we improve the customer experience? Do we come up with jokes? Do we greet them? Do we, you know, give them a free coffee so they come up, they have a lot of great ideas, and then they put those ideas in practice and figure out what works, what doesn't. And so it's just every day is a learning process for them.
And how about retention and hiring of students to man the coffee shop? Has that been easy or a challenge?
I think that more people want to work. Like, I mean, I don't think anybody's heard a bad thing about working there at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun every day.
But you don't have a problem having people show up and...
Right, yeah, no.
Well, it's an anomaly because, as you know, across America, there's a shortage and a struggle to get people to show
up. Yeah, I think we're all pretty excited to come to work every morning. A reason to be here.
Going forward, you guys invented this. I mean, I know of no other high school that has repurposed a school bus for a coffee shop. This is a brilliant model that is multifold in different departments, you know. Talk to us
yes.
about going forward and maybe some other schools taking and running with what you did.
It's it is and I've always said if you give the students a chance to dream and they turn those dreams into realities, mm-hmm. these students are brilliant. They have awesome ideas, and their follow-through is impeccable. They not only do they develop ideas, but come up with ways to make the whole process come to fruition. He was mentioning about how much fun it is to work. There is no school that has what they have. And sometimes I ask if these students even know how good they have it here, because mm-hmm. we allow our students to be creative thinkers and be innovators. And they do that time and time again. So now it's like, what's next? Mm-hmm.
What is next?
Well, if you can get the kids excited to come to school, they're going to do a great job for you. So we're going to have two more buses. So I don't know what they're going to come up with next. Mm-hmm. But I do have a project for them that's still related to transportation. Is maybe some kind of automatic washer for our buses to drive through would be nice, since we have so many gravel roads. So I think that's something they're kind of toying mm-hmm. with right now.
Do you like that challenge?
Yeah. We've had lots of ideas in the shop. Every idea that comes up, we like to think it through. And mm-hmm. we know that we can do just about anything, so any idea is a good idea.
Has this whole process for both of you given you any pause for thought about what you might do post high school?
Absolutely. Along with the painting, we did a lot of electrical, plumbing, just about anything on the bus we did in the shop. So mm-hmm. any of those things I found fun and enjoyable. So
stimulated your brain thinking of possibly going in some tech trade.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, definitely.
And how about you and the kids that run the coffee shop?
Well, I've worked at a fast food type restaurant before, and that compared to this is nothing alike. This is way more, I don't know, it feels like, and it's like all of our customers, we know them, and we're talking
sounds
to
like
them.
More fun,
it's
like
way
family,
more fun.
Yeah.
Completely way more fun, yeah.
So sure. You guys make it enjoyable.
Yeah, every day.
Hard to call it work then.
Right.
Yeah. So going forward, post high school, have you envisioned where this might stimulate you to think about doing something different?
I don't really know.
Could you see yourself opening a coffee shop?
Maybe in the far future, but I don't know about anytime soon.
So back to the electric bus, that's been a positive experience as well. It's one of those ideas where you don't know how it's going to be received in the community, but it's been a really positive impact, especially the students.
They really like it.
Oh, they love it. My biggest mistake when we got this is I was running a pilot. I thought it was a great idea to rotate it around to different routes, not mm-hmm. realizing that when I took it off one route, put it on the next, the elementary kids were extremely upset with me because I took their bus away.
Rebellion.
Yeah, I do. So the biggest thing they love about it is it's smooth. It's a smooth ride, and they find it to be more comfortable because it doesn't vibrate as much. I don't know if these two students here have had the opportunity to ride the bus, or maybe they've heard someone talk about it and they can say what they're hearing.
So the bus does like a Herdland route, right? Does the Herdland route, and I live out there. And so my brothers ride the bus every day, and they like their favorite part about it is how when it goes under a certain amount of speed, it plays ice cream truck music. So when they're slowing funny. Down to drop all the kids off, the ice cream music mm-hmm. playing in the background. That's what they like.
That's cool. And I heard that the reason for the ice cream truck music is safety, so that other kids and whatever people know it's coming because right. it's a silent vehicle.
I've heard all good things about the bus. I think the coolest part is how the drivers can affect the amount of charge on the bus. I've heard good things about
how
that.
They drive.
Yep, the way mm-hmm. they drive, I think that's cool.
Yeah, very cool.
And what Colin is referencing there is it's got regenerative braking on the bus. So if the bus driver times their stops and knows at this point I have to let off the gas and it'll stop at my next stop, that whole period of time where they let off the gas, it's putting energy back on the batteries. So we have a bus driver right now who on average is putting 12 to 13 miles of range back on the batteries on an 80-mile route. So the efficiency there is great. The idea that, you know, we're not only are we spending 20 cents less a mile mm-hmm. running the electric bus, but we're also putting some range back on the batteries is definitely a cost savings for the school district.
Do you want to have the kids go back? They'll love having them here. But
yeah,
thank you guys so much. I really, really appreciate it.
So a couple other things that we've found with the electric bus, just in case anybody else is looking into it, we're buying two more, so we're pretty happy with what we have.
How about from a budgetary standpoint? Earlier you were telling me you pay a premium for an electric bus, probably double, right, of what a diesel would be.
An electric bus is about triple the cost of a diesel bus. Right. So you're talking a diesel bus right around $100,000, an electric bus a little over $300,000. So just to buy one outright, we're not there yet. We're trying to figure out what that cost of ownership is. So that someday when we don't have grant money, are we able to afford these buses?
And what's a word that you hear from Thomas and Bluebird and International as far as what their pro forma expectations are on price reductions?
So, yeah, all the companies are saying as the battery technology gets better, the prices are going to keep going down. That also, the most positive thing out there is there's such an emphasis on converting to EV vehicles, so there's a lot of money being thrown out there towards doing that. Mm-hmm. Our first bus cost us $7,500 after we received all the grants and the VW money. So we're essentially making money now. Mm-hmm. So
there's a whole multifold list of benefits. One is just straight out environmental, right?
Absolutely. Environmental. The environmental is the obvious piece. Everybody talks about, okay, no, zero emissions, so that's great. You know, those bus drivers are exposed to those diesel fuels, fumes every day, the students as well, the community, the atmosphere. But some of the things that are not mentioned, I truly believe because it's so quiet on the bus, there's less discipline. Maybe it's because the students are afraid to be heard when they say something because it is extremely quiet. Mm-hmm. It's almost leery sitting on there and you can't hear anything.
So a more compliant population.
I believe so. Another factor I talked earlier about the bus being so much smoother, there is a diesel just idling vibrates like crazy. There is no vibration. And that's, I had a high school student ask me, okay, if you're going to put us back in the diesel bus, can we convert our diesel bus into an electric bus so it's smoother? And I said, well, it doesn't really work that way. Well, can you at least put better shocks on our diesel buses? So, you know, you get students already thinking about, here's your next project, Mr. Turgeon. Convert the rest of the diesel buses into electric buses. So,
interesting. Across the country, what other schools are doing this movement to electric buses? And
I know California's got has a lot of electric buses, New York. Virginia just purchased, actually the electric companies in Virginia are buying the buses for the school districts.
So is this a new baseline for public transportation of school kids?
I believe it is.
Yeah.
I believe it is. I think this is the future of public transportation. It's going to take some time to get there, but there's more and more opportunities for school districts to be able to afford them right now. Just to give you an example, we did this as a pilot with our State Department of Energy last year, and one of their main goal is to electrification of vehicles. So when we did this, they were totally on board, and there's two schools that ended up with electric buses last year. Well, this year, the words got out. People have come and seen our electric bus. And this year, there's 10 grants that got approved in the state of Missouri for electric buses. So next year, quite possibly, we'll have 12 electric buses in the state of Missouri.
And at some point, you'll have 100% electric fleet of your own.
At some point, yes. So one of the things that needs to happen there before we can get to that is our trip buses. Our bus has a range of 125 miles. Right now, some of our trips are right at 120 miles. Yeah. So until we get to a point where we can get to that place and either fully charge or the batteries can get more range, and there are buses out there with longer range batteries. But yes, our goal would be someday to be 100% electric.
That's cool. And right now, you told me a story out by the bus about sending energy back into the grid from the buses. That's really cool.
Yes. So the buses are equipped with V2G and V2B. So V2G being where in the summertime when we're not using the bus, we charge it at night when we have a lower rate. And then during the day, we sell the electricity back to the electric co-op.
And V2G reducing and V2B means what?
V2G is a vehicle to grid. Mm-hmm. V2B is what we're really pursuing moving forward. So, for example, if we had a power outage, V2B gives you the ability to put your power back to the building. Mm-hmm. So, and we have two important buildings here, this one and the one across the street, which is the nursing home. To know that we would have three vehicles, and if we had a crisis where the power outage mm-hmm. was hit us, that we could take our three buses over across the street and power up their nursing home.
That's really cool.
That would be a great status
and
to get to.
And that's doable right now, technically.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
As far as the whole plant infrastructure itself, any visions about you becoming carbon neutral as an entity, solar panels, et cetera?
We do have some solar panels. Our students have installed the solar panels. That was a project they did, and they're able to look at the data. The problem with solar panels right now is the buyback on the solar panels is still too far out. Mm-hmm. They're too expensive still.
How about wind generation?
Well, in our research, we're finding that solar panels generate more than wind. Mm-hmm. That's a big project going on in our county right now. There's possibility some wind farms coming. But in our research, we've found out that solar panels are more efficient.
Got it. So that is happening. Like you said, the kids have already put some up there.
Yes, we have 8 solar panels out there. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't generate a ton of energy, especially in the wintertime or on rainy days. You don't generate a whole lot.
But how about, we talked about storage.
Yes.
Where you could do more and more battery banks.
Exactly. So our solar panels out there right now, they're kind of like the vehicle to grid. The only thing our solar panels do right now is it goes back on the grid. So when we get our electric bill, it reduces the amount of kilowatts that mm-hmm. it puts those back on there, so our bill's smaller. When you have solar panels and you have battery storage, so for example, when we decommission the electric bus 20 years down the road, we take those batteries off that bus. Now all of a sudden you have a way to store that solar energy and use it at any time mm-hmm. at your convenience.
And alternately, we talked about residual value of an electric bus, and that's one of the big differentials of positive.
Absolutely, and that research is not out there yet. But in the research they have so far with the battery degradation, it looks like it's going to take, 15 to possibly 20 years before that battery is even down to 70% capacity.
Wow.
If you think at 50% capacity, the size of those batteries, they'll be worth a lot of money because you could hook up some solar panels to those batteries and power up a whole house mm-hmm. and not have to be on the grid.
That's really cool. All right. Well, unfortunately, we have to push on, but what a wonderful morning here. Thank you for sharing. Well,
wish you could have gotten here earlier. They could have fixed you a specialty drink out of the bus cafe.
I'm ready for coffee. So if somebody wanted to learn more about your world, where would we go?
If you type in knox.k12.mo.us, that is our school website. We also, under our middle school and high school tab, we have a tab that's called Bus Project, and there's a lot of information there about our electric bus as well as our bus cafe. So if anybody's interested in anything we've talked about today, it's pretty well covered in there. Our bus cafe has a timeline of photos from the beginning to the end of the product. And so if you have some time, there's a lot of photos on there, but you can see everything that they've done to that bus and how it started and how it ended. So there's a lot of information there. We're in Knox County, Edina, Missouri, which is in northeast Missouri, and I am the superintendent of schools here, have been for 12 years, and my name's Andy Turgeon.
Awesome, Andy. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you guys for doing this.
This is great. And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Missouri. We'll see you here.
Support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust preservation initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.